Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Hold your Bible up, write your Bible, something to take notes with. Let's make our confession together. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you thank God for His Word today? Amen, amen, amen. Well, open your Bible with me today to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I'm excited about this brand new series on how to experience God. How to have an experience with God, how to go deeper, and we just sang about it, how to get closer to God. In times that you and I are in today, we need God, I think, more than we've ever needed God before. And we need to know how to have an experience with God. So I'm going to take you to today and next week and the next week. We're going to look at Psalm 139. Hebrew scholars tell us this is the greatest psalm in the book of Psalms. I really didn't know that until I began digging on researching, looking at all my commentaries, my resources. I have over 5,000 volumes in my library. As I began to study for the last few weeks for this series, I never knew it, but most of the commentaries, most of the Hebrew scholars said that out of all of the psalms, there's 150, right? Thank you. I fake it till you make it. You haven't had your coffee yet, right? But there's 150 psalms, and they're saying out of all of them, this is number one on how to get closer to God. I never knew that. I always liked Psalm 1. I like Psalm 84. I like Psalm 23. I like Psalm 27. I like Psalm 61. I like Psalm 63. I just like them all. I like Psalm 50. I like them all. I like Psalm 119. That's the largest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, and the theme is the Word of God. But in my research, they said that this is the greatest psalm of all 150 on how to have an experience with God, how to get closer to God, how to have an intimate relationship with God. And so this psalm, David writes this psalm, and David, you know, was king. He was a warrior. He was a worshiper. David loved God, and David wanted to get closer to God. So David shows us in this short psalm, 139, it's actually broken into four different segments. We're going to look at them over the next 3 weeks on how David got closer to God and had a fresh experience with God. If that's how he did it, then if we just mimic it, we can have a deeper experience with God as well. Amen, everybody? So we're going to go verse by verse. I'm going to give you a bunch of things up front, scriptures, and then we're going to go verse by verse for the first six verses. The first six verses. Now, in this psalm, I'll just give you the key, the secret right up front. How you like that? Isn't that cool, getting it right up front? See, if I had the cure for cancer, you'd want to know that, right? If I had the cure for migraine headaches, if I had the cure, you know, for some disease, you'd want to know that. Well, I have the cure to get closer to God today. And it's Psalm 139. And David, what he does is he looks at three characteristics of God. That's what he does. He looks at three virtues, three attributes. Everybody say attributes. Now, I've taught you the last 38 years, if you want to know God, study His attributes. If you want to know God, study His attributes. Well, in this psalm, David meditates on three attributes of God. And at the end of the psalm, he's overcoming every enemy in his life. As he meditates, it's not what I hear that changes my life. It's what I hear and think about and apply. It's what I hear, think about, and apply that changes my life. What I hear does not change my life. But what I hear, think about, that's meditation, and apply, that changes my life. So Psalm 139 is all about 3 points, knowing God. Number two, learning how to enjoy God. You know, a lot of people are afraid of God today. A lot of people have the wrong picture, perspective of God today. My relationship and how I view God is how I view the world. My relationship and how I view God is how I view myself and how I view the world. My relationship with God determines my perception of my circumstances today. My relationship with God determines my outlook, and my outlook determines my outcome. So there's 3 points in this chapter. We see in Psalm 139, which out of all 150, like I told you, in all my research, they all came to the same agreement. Many of these great scholars said that this was the chapter they wanted to open in their Bible when they died. It's amazing. I never knew that. Isn't it great we continue to learn, right? I never knew that out of all of the chapters in Psalm, this one, they said, is the one that brings you closer to God than any of the others. And that's how David did it. He looked at 3 attributes of God. And when we look at this Psalm, I want you to know God a little better. I want you, number two, to enjoy God. You know, a lot of people won't become a Christian because they think of all the things they've got to give up. What do you got to give up? Hangovers? Hell? You know, but a lot of people have the wrong perception of God and church, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. But you and I are to know God. Number two, to enjoy God. And number three, to tell others about God. Number one, to know God. And then number two, to enjoy our Christianity. Enjoy God. And then number three, witness, tell other people about God. So Psalm 139, it's amazing because Psalm 139, we're going to look at the first virtue, and that's the omniscient of God. What does that omniscient mean? Omniscient means he's all-knowing. So that's the first of the three, omniscient and then omnipresent. That's next week. He's here, there, and everywhere. And then the next week, the third virtue is he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So instead of all those words, we can say he's all-knowing, he's ever-present, and he's all-powerful. Those are the three virtues. Those are the three attributes that in Psalm 139, David meditates on them. And at the end, he's overcoming every one of his enemies. He got closer to God. He had an experience with God. Depression, discouragement, panic, fear, worry, anxiety, left. Doubt, wavering, left. By simply meditating, it's not what I hear, it's what I hear, think about all day and apply. And as we meditate on these three characteristics of God, what happened for David, transformation is going to happen for you and me. We're going to have an experience with God. So you're going to have a lot of homework. Is that okay? Sunday's not enough on this. You know, you got to do it throughout the day, every day, for life change. So the first one we're looking at this weekend is we're going to look at the all-knowing God that we serve. He's all knowledge. He's all-knowing. He's perfect knowledge. What's the statement? It simply means that God sees through us. You ever heard somebody say, you don't want to hang around that person because I saw right through what they were doing? Okay, it's quiet in the church house today. We've all said that. You don't want to date them. You don't want to marry them. You don't want to buy a car from them because I can see right through them. What are you saying? You see their motive. So God is the all-knowing, the omnipotent. He's the all-knowing God. What's the statement? God knows the inward you and the outward you. Two words, inward and outward. Everybody else does not. You and I are so misunderstood. You ever felt that way sometimes? I felt it a lot down through the years. People have misunderstood me. How about you? They misunderstood something you said, something you did, or somebody thought they knew you when they really didn't know you. And you really go through life thinking, I wish somebody would just understand me. Well, God understands you. God knows the inward us, the hurts, the history, the hang-ups. God knows the inward you, and God knows the outward you. God knows, we're going to find this out in the first six verses, God knows every moment of your life. He knows every moment. He knows every movement. He knows every motive, and he knows every maneuver. God knows the inward and the outward. God knows why we are the way we are. The history that's made us who we are today, the good, the bad, the ugly. God's all-knowing. When David began to meditate on this, it took him to a new level in God. Because, see, as we look at this, don't look at this, you know, a lot of people look at it as a negative. Oh, God's watching over me to find something wrong with me. No, that's not what this chapter is about. God's watching over us because he knows the possibilities. The possibilities. God knows the past, all your past. And God knows the present. I'd be writing this down. God knows your past. God knows your present, your hurt today, your hang-up today, your loneliness, your all that you're going through, frustration, anxiety, questions. God knows. God knows everything in our past. You see, God can't learn anything. You ever think about that? God can't learn anything. There's nothing new for God. You ever think about this? You know, a lot of you, I know you like us, we like to go, our family, like we like to go to national parks. You know, right now you can't get in except for the lottery. Thank God for the COVID, right? And so you can't get into them like we used to. But I can remember the first time I took my family to the Grand Canyon. You know what was the first word out of my mouth? Wow. Gomer Pyle would say, Shazam, right? You ever think about this? God never says, wow. God never, ever says, wow. There's nothing new for God to learn. God can't learn. He's all knowledge. He knows everything in your past. He knows everything in your present. Watch this. And he knows all your potential and possibilities. When others put you down, God knows your potential, your possibilities, and God knows your future. Nothing in your future is going to shock him. Nothing in your future is going to shock God. God will never say, I didn't know that was going to happen in their life. Think about it. When you know that God knows your future and he knows a perfect plan to get you there. God knows the perfect way, the perfect prescription for your healing. God knows your possibility and God knows your potential. God knows your past, your present, your future. He cannot learn anything. He's perfect knowledge, the Bible says. It's powerful. Now these three attributes, it's what David looked at. And again, I couldn't believe this, but out of all 150, I've been doing this for 40 years. I never knew this until my research, that this is the one psalm that they say all the research, all the commentaries, all the historians, all the theologians, they all agreed that this was the one psalm that would bring you closer to God than any other. Kind of goes along with the song we sang a while ago, right? So God is perfect knowledge, and God knows every movement, every motive, every maneuver in our life. We can't surprise God. God knows us through and through. So what David is doing in Psalm 139, it is getting to know the God who knows him. We need to get to know the God who knows us. He knows our past, our present, our potential. He knows our possibilities. He knows our future. And God's for us. That's the motto of this church. God is for us. And when you get a hold of that, you know what it does? It gives you security. That my future, he's got the whole world, right? He got you and me, brother. He got you and me, sister. He got the whole world. He's got, David was thinking, God's got my life in his hand. My life is in his hand. I'm secure. This study today and the next 2 weeks should bring more security and safety when things are crazy in our county and our city. Ask Don, ask our officers. It's crazy. I've lived here for 40 years. It's crazy. But when you find out the revelation from this chapter It will bring security and safety into your life and protection, and know that you're in the hand of the Lord. Let's don't patty cake. Let's give him a good praise. Come on, everybody. Let's give him a good praise. Hallelujah. All right, so that's just a little bit of the background, that as a result of this teaching, you're going to trust God more. You're going to be more secure. You're going to be happier. You're going to enjoy your walk with God. You're going to go after God more than ever before. Are you ready for it? Okay, so let's just begin. How to experience God. A.W. Tozer. Look at this statement, A.W. Tozer. What a person thinks about God, and everybody has a different perception of God, what a person thinks about God is the most important thing about that person. How many know when you're dating somebody and they have a different picture of God than you've got, it isn't going to work, marriage. It's not going to work. How can two walk together except they agree, right? So the most important thing, a person about that person is what that person thinks about God. What do you think about God today? What is your picture of God? What is your perspective of God? Your natural father gives you a whole lot of into your heavenly father, but if your natural father wasn't good, then scrap that and go to the Word and find out what your heavenly father really is like. What a person thinks about God is the most important thing about that person, because my picture of God determines my perception of my life and my world and my future. That's powerful. Very, very, very powerful. All right? Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord. So notice, everybody, the Lord's talking. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise and the skillful person with all the degrees glory and boast in their wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty, powerful, CrossFit person glory and boast in their strength and their power. Let not the person who's rich and has a beamer and a pool and two vacations, house, physical gratification, earthly wealth, glory in that. Those are only temporal satisfaction and earthly riches. Verse 24. But let him, this is what we should be doing, but let him glory in this, that you understand, you know the God who knows you. That's priority. That's the most important, according to the Bible. That you understand and know God personally, practically, directly discerning and recognizing his character. Omnipotent, all-knowing. Omnipresent, here, there, and everywhere. You know, all-powerful. Those, he wants us to know his character. It will change us. That I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things, God says, I delight in that. Y'all heard happy wife, happy life, right? Well, happy God, happy favor, right? And this is what God wants. God's not impressed with our degrees, not impressed with our house, square footage, our vacation home. He's not impressed with our physique and how good we may look. But what does impress God is when we want to have a greater experience with him, hungry for God. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, pleads Jeremiah. Jeremiah's praying in the name of the people. He's interceding. I know that the determination and the way of a man or a woman is not in themselves. In other words, you don't know your full potential. You don't know your full possibilities. Everybody said to me growing up, I'd never make or amount to anything. I'd be dead by age 30. That's what they told me. I'm sure a lot of you had the very same thing. Notice he says, Jeremiah comes to God and says, the determination of a man, the way of a man is not in them. It's not in a man or woman, even a strong man or a man at his best, to direct your own life. We don't know enough. We don't have enough. We're not strong enough. We don't have the resources, the portfolio, the net worth, or the network to direct our own life where God wants to take us. So notice how important it is then, our picture, our relationship with God determines our perception in life. Psalm 139 is all about knowing the God who knows me inwardly and outwardly. This psalm is showing us how to have a spiritual encounter experience with God. David is focusing. How'd you do it, David? You love God. You're king. You're busy. You're a warrior. You're a worshiper. You write psalms, but this one is said to be your greatest. How did you get closer to God, David? By focusing on these three attributes of God. By focusing on those three attributes of God. So omniscient is all-knowing. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6, going to give you the outline, and then we're going to come back and go verse by verse there. Number two, next week, omnipresent. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. He's with you in the doctor's office, the courtroom, the lawyer's office, the principal's office. He's with you in the bedroom, the kitchen, the back porch, the front porch. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. What does that mean? You're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. God rules over the nations, but yet he wants an individual, personal relationship with you. Omnipresent. He's here, there, everywhere. That's verses 7 through 12. This is the outline of the chapter. That's next Sunday. Then number three, omnipotent. He's all powerful. That's verses 13 through 18. Today we're going to look at, he's the all-knowing God. He knows your habits. He knows what you do in secret, what you do in public. He knows the inward you and the outward you. He knows the prejudice you may have or don't have, the attitudes, the perception, the hang-ups, and yet he still loves us. He's still for us. He still cares about us. He still believes in us. He knows my past. It stinks. He knows my present. It's challenging. He knows my future. I'm uncertain. But he says, don't worry. He said, I've got you covered. I know where you're going. Let me lead you. You don't have enough in your own self to lead your own life. Let your creator lead you. All-knowing. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me, and you know me. So the whole psalm is about knowing the God who knows us. And that word known there in the Hebrew means he sees right through us. He knows our motive behind that business deal. He knows that motive why I'm on the dream team. He knows that motive why I want to be on the platform. He knows that motive why I want to be with that group. He knows that motive why I want that supervisor's job. He knows the motive why I want to go out on that date. He knows the motive why I want to go to that party. He knows everything inside me and outside, inward, outward. He sees me through and through. Next verse, verse 2. Thou knowest my downsetting. You know when I sit in a chair, and you know when I get up. Thou understands my thoughts afar off. So he knows every moment of our life. He knows every moment, what's happening every moment in our life. He knows every maneuver of our life. He knows every meditation of our life. He knows every motive of our life. Now, this is not to condemn us, everybody. Don't see it. See, that's religiosity if you see this as a negative thing. Now, if I'm running from God, yeah, I'm going to be convicted. But if I'm running towards God, this encourages me. God knows what I got to do tomorrow morning when I get up out of bed. God knows what I got to face throughout the whole day. God knows that I need him to help me face the day and conquer the giants of that day. Thou knowest my downsetting, you know my uprising, you know my thoughts. He knows our thoughts before you ever think them. Do you think your thoughts have surprised God? We can't surprise God. He can't learn anything new. He knows every thought before we even think it. Next verse, verse 3. Thou compass my path and my lying down, compass my path. A compass, what's that? Surrounds me. Surrounds me. God, you've got me covered today. My path, that's the road I'm on. That's my life. That's every day. My lying down when I go to sleep and I need to sleep. You're acquainted with all my ways. The word ways there is the word for habits. Habits. God, you know my routine. God, you know my habits. I want to be this, that, and the other. God, show me what habit I need to change. God, you know what habits I need to change. God, you know the resources I need. You know the relationships I need to have or disconnect from. God, you know my past, all that I've gone through. God, what I'm going through. God, but yet you know my potential. And God, you know the possibilities. and you know my future. And you know who I need, what I need to arrive there at your best, at your best, at your very best. Compass me, God, in my path, in my day-to-day, my everyday routine, taking this kid's soccer, softball, school, camp, whatever, the sitter, my path, my lying down. You know what I'm dealing with in my head and the thoughts that I'm thinking when I go to bed? And God, you're acquainted with all my habits. You're acquainted with all my habits. He's the all-knowing God. And when you get a revelation and you meditate, what you hear doesn't change you. What you hear, think about, and apply changes you. And this chapter is all about knowing the God that knows me, then enjoying him and my Christianity, then telling other people about him and not embarrassed of him. Verse 4, we're looking at the first six verses. This is where David, the king, and he was busy, warrior, worshiper, and yet he wanted to have an experience with God. He loved God, but he wanted to get closer to God. I tell you, a lot of people need to get closer to God coming out of COVID. Their walk with God is cold, dry, looks like that desert behind me. But the good news is I got the cure for it. Psalm 139. For there is not a word in my tongue. He knows every moment of my life, every minute of my life, every motive of my life, every maneuver of my life. There's not a word in my tongue. God, every thought I think, you knew I would think it before I thought it. Every word I'm going to say, you knew it before I ever said it. Can't surprise God. God can't learn anything. He's perfect knowledge. He's God. He's all knowledge. For there's not a word in my tongue, but, oh, Lord, thou knowest it all together. So I guess our words are important. Our thoughts are important, right? If God monitors our thoughts and our words, then let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Isn't that a scripture in the book of Psalms? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that's your thoughts, be acceptable unto you. They're only acceptable if they're in agreement with the word. Positive confession. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me. Look at this. Thou hast beset me. You're behind me. You're before me. And you laid your hand upon me. Oh, watch this now. Look at this. Let's pull some words out. God, you're behind me. You're taking care of my past. God, you're before me. You're orchestrating my future because I don't have enough in me to direct my own life. I need the one who created me to direct my life. God, you're behind me. All my mistakes, God, all my messes, you're turning into miracles. God, all my hurts, you're turning into healing. God, you're behind me, and where I fell short and where I disappointed you, God, you're turning them around to appointments. God, you're behind me. You're in my past, but God, you're also in my future. You're before me, God. But when you have that, you won't be depressed. Stay depressed. Be down. Give up. Get high. Get drunk. Get this. Do that. Backslide. No. You'll enjoy God. Knowing God is for you. That's the mission of the church. That's why you and I give our tithe and our offering. People need to know this. God is for them. He's not religious. He's not a statue. God, you're behind me. All that they said, God, the curse, what they cursed me, God, turn it into a blessing. God, you're behind me, but God, you're before me. But look at this three-dimensional, and God, your hand is upon me. Past, future, present. And the hand of God is always a reference to the power of God. We're going to look at that the last weekend, the all-powerful God. Next verse, verse 6. Here's the last, first six verses. David is looking and say, God, you see right through me. And God, you know, I've been worried and troubled about my past and my future. I can just imagine King David. But God, I know that you're the God that is all-knowing. You have perfect knowledge. You know where I've been, God. You know what I'm going through, and you know where I'm going. And you know the best way to get there. Oh, yeah. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You know what that means? Basically, if I can fit God into my head, then he can't meet my needs. That's a big quote. It's another quote of A.W. Tozer. If I can fit God, what does that mean? If you can figure God out, if you can reason God out, if you can bring God down to your level, if you can put God, you know, how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, who he's going to do it through, that means put him in your head. If I can put God in my head, then God can't meet my needs because I limit him with my head. I limit God with my head. I limit God with my thinking and my talking. I limit God with my thinking and my talking. Oh, David said, such knowledge, what? Every moment, God, you see. Every motive, you know. Every maneuver, God, you're watching. Every minute, every moment, every maneuver, God, every motive, God, this blows my mind, God, that you're God, the creator of the universe. You're ruling over the universe, but yet you take time to never leave me today, to lead me today, to protect me today, to show me the way today for the best marriage, best parenting, best health, best job, best investments, best career. Blows my mind, God. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. And I cannot attain unto it. What's he saying? Don't shrink God. Don't let your circumstances shrink God. Don't let your past or the fear of the future or uncertainty shrink God. Don't let well-meaning people shrink God. Don't let disappointment shrink God. Don't let COVID shrink God. Don't let the government shrink God. Don't let the school system shrink God. Don't let your neighbor shrink God. Don't let the relatives shrink God. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, so high, I cannot contain it. This is called expository teaching. Job 37, verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider. What's that? Meditate. Just coming to church won't change me. Hearing my teaching won't change you. It's when you think about what I taught. This is what my dad always told us in our family growing up. My dad was the Sunday school superintendent of the Assemblies of God Church I grew up in. And dad would always say, now we're gonna think about what the preacher, Sam Reeves was his name. That's who I got born again under. Sam Reeves, he's in heaven now. He was Kim's bus driver. She lived in the country. Didn't make enough from the church, the little Assembly of God Church. So he pastored, but on the side, he drove the school bus. Kim was in his school bus. He led my family to the Lord. He's in heaven today. But my dad would say, okay, now we're going to think about what Pastor Reeves taught this morning all week long at home on our devotions. We're going to think about what the preacher said. See, just hearing me talk is not enough. It's not going to change you. But when you go home with your family and you think about and talk about what I taught you and you look at the word and check it out and then you apply it, it will change you. Consider the wonderful works of God. Consider, meditate on the works of God. We don't have time to elaborate. Verse 15, does thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Verse 16, does thou know the balancing of the cloud? This is all the works of the Lord, creating the universe, the earth, the cloud, the water, the animals. Does thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wonderful works of him who is, here's what I wanted you to see, perfect. Doctors don't have perfect knowledge. They do the best they can do. Lawyers don't have perfect knowledge. Counselors don't have perfect knowledge. They don't know you and me inward, outwardly, completely, see completely through us. But God does. God knows how to fix us when man doesn't. God knows how to fix our kids, our marriage, our parenting skills. God knows how to fix our health when man can't help us. He's perfect. And he's not waiting on Elon Musk to create something else. Right? He's perfect. God's perfect. There's no one perfect on the planet in knowledge. I don't care what robot. I don't care if George Jetson and Rosie's coming your way. You know that, right? Rosie's going to take your job. It's true. It's perfect in knowledge. There's only one who's perfect in knowledge, and that's our Creator, God. Okay? So we see Psalm 139 is out of all the Psalms, the one that will bring us closer and have a deeper, if we study it verse by verse and meditate on it. For if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. And God, what does God know? He knows everything. all means all. Now, if I'm running from God, if I'm chucking and jiving, and if you think that's a new term for something, it's not. I'm going back to the 80s, okay? Shaft. Who is the man who can... You know, I took my wife, when we were dating, Des Moines, Iowa, at a movie called Shaft. And we were the only white cats. It was an awesome movie, praise God. See, I still have it. Who is the man who can... Shaft. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Okay. We were the only one. The place was full. There was just two white people. It's an awesome movie. God knows that. God knew we went to Shaft. God knows all things. Come on back, y'all. God knows all things. If I'm running from God, then that I don't want to hear that. But if I'm trying, even though I fall, I get up. If I'm trying... If I'm reaching, I'm searching, I'm seeking, I want revival of the Bible, I want the year Bible in my family. If I'm trying, then this is good for me. Because I know God knows everything I'm dealing with today, everything you're going through today. He knows everything. I got to hustle. He knows everything. Wow. God's knowledge is complete. He knows everything. He can't learn anything. I'll never surprise God. Number two. Unlimited, past, present, and future. Remember, he's in your past, he's in your future, and his hand is on you today, so you can walk as an overcomer today. Number three, it's individual. We're going to look at that in a couple of weeks. Proverbs 5:21, as the team comes, for the ways of man, for my way today, my life today, my habits today, my routine today is before the eyes of the Lord. And God ponders all my goings, taking the kids to school, soccer, softball, counseling, court case, going to the doctor, needing help here, going here, psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever it might be, parenting, marriage, whatever it might be. God knows every way, every walk, every path, every day of our life, and he sees it, and God is for you. God is for you. So it's Proverbs 5:21. Am I helping anybody today? If I can fit God into my mind, he can't meet all my needs. I know God promised it, and really that's all we need to know. We don't need to know how he's going to do it. Because if we try to figure it out, then we, what? Are shrinking God, putting him between our ears. The Bible says don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in him in all your ways. If I can fit God into my mind, he can't meet all my needs. Takeaways. You ready for seven takeaways? What you heard today should change you. Should change you. If you came down, you should leave up. If you came lost, you can be found. If you came frustrated, you should have clarity. It should change you. It changed David. It brought him closer to God. When you understand he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, when you understand that, it should change you. Shouldn't worry about the future. God's in your future. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're talking about the mark of the beast, the chip, the Antichrist, the tribulation, the rapture, the second coming. Last Wednesday night, we talked about the role of Israel. Man, if you looked at some of that without God, it would scare, it would frighten you. But when you know God's all-knowing and he's in your past, he's in your future, he's on you today, then that gets rid of the fear of uncertainty. Number two, it should build my faith. It should build my faith. It should build my faith. My goodness, it should build my faith. There's so much negative news out there. God is for me. Psalm 139, more than any other psalms, was written to draw us closer to God. It's only a few verses. You say, well, I've read it. It didn't mean anything to me. You didn't dig. You didn't pray. You read a verse, you pray. You read a verse, you pray. You journal. You take days on two or three verses. It should build my faith. Number three, it should enlarge my perception of God. Hallelujah. It should enlarge my perception. And I appreciate all the work the guys do for the screens, all this stuff. It takes a lot, many, many hours. Thank you, team. It should enlarge my perception of God. Number four, it should strengthen my relationship with God. God's not out to get me. God's for me. God knows me at my worst, and God knows me at my best, and He's still for me. He's still for you. People give up on us and walk away, dump us like, you know, nothing. God won't. I've had people down through the last 39 years, Pastor, I'm behind you. They were so far behind me when I looked, I couldn't find them. But it should strengthen my relationship with God. Number five, He knows me at my worst and my best. I mean, number six, He knows my potential. He knows my potential. He knows your potential. At Church on the Rock, we try to help you tap into it. And number seven, He has a plan for my life. And He knows the perfect way. He knows the perfect way. Others don't. I mean, you know, some of my closest friends in the ministry down through the years, who I love dearly, but they gave me wrong advice. God has a plan for your life, and only God knows the perfect way to achieve it. Did you get something today? I'm done. I'm out of time. 40 minutes. Come on, give God a praise for the word. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and know when leaving. Those of you online, our online campus, we love you. We care about you. Those of you watching on television, we care about you. We love you. Metaverse Church, we care about you. We love you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. If you're online today and you say, Pastor, God spoke to me today, and I need to get right with God, it could be for the very first time, or it could be a reset, a refresh, a renew, a rededication, a recommitment. But if that's you, and you know who you are, punch the button on your screen, on your smartphone, pray the prayer with us, take the next step. God's for you today. He's the all-knowing God. Three attributes David looked at, and it changed his life. In this room, out in the Rock Express, wherever you might be on campus, Pastor, God spoke to me today. I feel the love of God. I feel God's compassion for me and how He thinks and feels about me and knows my inward, my outward, but still loves me. But Pastor, I want a relationship with that kind of a God. Or I want to reset my relationship today. Pastor, pray for me. Heads are bowed, but just lift your hand up. Nobody's going to come to you. Lift your hand up high and wave it at me. Would you? Faith is an act. You got to do something. Thank you. Thank you. Just put your hand up high. Wave it at me. Thank you. Put your hand down. Church, let's all pray this prayer together. Everyone, let's say it now together. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.